जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय
परिग्रहदाचार्य अष्टोत्तरसत हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी जगत गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथरा श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदी हरि ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरयेत् श्रुणवतां स्वकथा कृष्णा पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तना హృదయంతస్తుహ్య భద్రాని విదునోతి సృహిస్సతాం నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయ భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నష్టికీ. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Verse 40. Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna. We'll do the word for word first. Shri Krishna. Krishna. O Lord. O Lord Krishna. Vrishnikula. Of the Yadu dynasty. Pushkar. To the lotus. Josha. Pleasure. Dain, O you who bestow, Shma, of the earth, Nirjara, the demigods, Dvija, the Brahmanas, Pashu, and of the animals, Udadi, of the great oceans, Vriddhi, the increase, Karin, O you who cause, Udharma, of atheistic principles, Sarvara, of the darkness, Hara, O dispeller, Shiti, upon the earth, Rakshasa, of the demons, Dhruk, the opponent, Akalpam, until the end of the universe. Arkham, as long as the sun shines. Arhan, O supremely worshipable deity. Bhagavan, O supreme personality of Godhead. Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances. Say unto you. Shri Krishna Vrishnikula Pushkara Joshadain. Shri Krishna Vrishnikula Pushkara Joshadain. Shmanir Jara Dvija Pashuda Divriddhi Karin. Udharma Sarvara Harashiti Rakshasa Drug. Akalpa Marka Marahan Bhagavan Namaste. Shri Krishna Vrishni Kula Pushkara Joshadain. Manirjara Dvija Pashuda Divriddhi Karin. Udharma Sarvara Harashiti Rakshasa Drug. Akalpa Marka Marahan Bhagavan Namaste. Please chant.
Shri Krishna Vrishni Kula Pushkara Joshadayin.
Akalpa Marka Marahan Bhagavan Namaste. Sri Krishna.
कृष्ण भूषणि पुष्पुष्करदोषदायिनि
Translation. My dear Shri Krishna, you bestow happiness upon the lotus-like Vrishni dynasty and expand the great oceans consisting of the earth, the demigods, the brahmanas and the cows. You dispel the dense darkness of irreligion and oppose the demons who have appeared on this earth. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, as long as this universe exists and as long as the sun shines, I'll offer my obeisances unto you. Please repeat. My dear Shri Krishna, you bestow happiness upon the lotus-like Vrishni dynasty. And expand the great oceans consisting of the earth, the demigods,
the brahmanas,
and the cows.
You dispel the dense darkness of irreligion
and oppose the demons who have appeared on this earth. O Supreme Personality of Godhead,
as long as this universe
exists
and as long as the sun shines,
I'll offer my obeisances unto you. Purport. According to Srila Sanatan Goswami, Lord Brahma is here engaged in the ecstasy of Nam Sankirtan, glorifying various holy names of Lord Krishna that indicate his variegated pastimes. Lord Krishna expertly suppressed the demoniac population of the earth, which became unbearable with the advent of demoniac politicians like Kamsa, Jarasandha, and Sishupal. Similarly, in modern society, there are many so-called God-fearing people who are actually attracted to demoniac existence. Such persons become enlivened with the setting of the sun and go out in the darkness to enjoy life in restaurants, nightclubs, discotheques? How do you say that? Hotels and so on, which are all simply meant for illicit sex, intoxication, gambling and meat eating. Then there are those who openly defy God and his laws, declaring themselves atheists and demons. Both the covert and the overt enemies of the Lord constitute an unholy burden for the earth, and Lord Krishna descends to expertly remove this burden. Here Lord Brahma indirectly states that Lord Krishna should remove Brahma's own subtle atheism, which had led him to try to exert illusory power over Lord Krishna. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Lord Brahma, in his shame, felt himself to be like a Brahma Rakshas from Satyalok who had come to the earth to disturb Lord Krishna and his intimate friends and calves. Brahma is lamenting that although Lord Krishna is most exalted, the Lord of all Lords, because he had appeared before Brahma in such a simple, an innocent feature, decorated with a stick, a conch shell, ornaments, red clay, a peacock feather and so on, and sporting with his cowherd boyfriends, Brahma dared to challenge him. Concerning Brahma's prayers, of which this verse is a conclusion, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur states, "May these prayers of Brahma, which take away all doubts and broadcast all the definitive conclusions of devotional service, become the expert craftsmanship of the foundation of my consciousness." Right. Om Gyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshuru Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Hare Krishna. So this is the conclusion of 40 verses. Lord Brahma has been chanting these prayers to Sri Krishna so his Vimohan is over, almost over. And so he's concluding. Even though in the previous verse, yesterday's verse, he said, "Okay, please grant me leave," he still wanted to say something more. As Sanatan, as it says in the purport, that Lord Brahma is engaged in the ecstasy of Naam Sankirtan. When we see the verse, we see there's actually three names which Lord Brahma is calling Krishna by, and they are really long names. I was just thinking that we actually are so fortunate that we know so many names of Lord Krishna, and by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, they actually mean something to us. Because there are so many people who hear the names and they think it's just some weird sounding name or a very difficult name or a very difficult word, and they don't really get much out of the names of Lord Krishna. And even in India, as I was visiting, I was seeing that people, they know Krishna, but they don't really understand Krishna, which we very well know how Srila Prabhupada has explained to us. But personally, I had this experience that as we were traveling on our way to Jagannath Puri, and we had a long ride, 24-hour train ride to Jagannath Puri, and there was a little interaction with my sister in which she was saying, we go to different temples and there are different names of Krishna and he looks different in every temple, and we go to Jagannath Puri and he looks so different there, so can't really reconcile this difference everywhere. And long story short, she was like kind of almost being offensive, which I told her, "You were talking like an atheist." But at one point she said that, she said, "What's an atheist?" I said, "One who doesn't believe in God." She said, "But I believe in God. He's an energy. He's this energy who controls everything." So going to see Lord Jagannath and going to so many different temples all her life, and so many people do like that, but they don't understand who Krishna is. And unless we get the mercy of a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, we can understand what are these names of Lord Krishna and what do they mean. So I was thinking maybe we'll take a moment and just everybody can just kind of share different names of Lord Krishna which come to your mind, just to see how, to glorify the Lord and see how much we have benefited from the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So if somebody can just say that. Yes,
please.
Sankarshan.
Govinda.
Giridhari. Muralidhar. Shyam Sundar. Gopal. Dhanvantari. Keshava. Vrishabhanu. Gandini. Oh, Vrishabhanu Nandini. Oh, Nandini. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hari Bhava. Radha Kanta, Achyuta,
Narsimha,
Vamana. So in just a few moments, we were able to come up with 15. If we spend 5 minutes, I'm sure we'll come up with 100 names of Sri Krishna just off the top of our head. And they're all related to some pastime of Sri Krishna. And so we do understand that unless we get a drop of mercy from a pure devotee, all these names really, the purport of all these names of Sri Krishna will not become clear to us. So we're very thankful to Sri Prabhupada that he gave us this mercy. So in this purport, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, which actually most of this purport is from the Goswamis, there is this sentence. It says, "In modern society, there are so many so-called God-fearing people who are actually attracted to demoniac existence. And we see that the people are so openly saying that I'm an atheist. And they actually, if you do a survey, they'll say, yes, I'm an atheist. And they feel very proud of that. I don't believe in God. But if we see carefully, we find out that they're actually saying no God. So they're actually thinking of God, because God is so amazing, and he's so popular in the sense that because he's actually controlling not only this universe but all the universes, that they have to say no God. And that alone is proof that actually God exists, because there's so many people saying no God. They become so strong about that. So in this, the three names of Sri Krishna, which are in this verse, and Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has actually expanded upon these three names. I will just read a little bit from each of those. He has actually got a few paragraphs on this purport. So the first name is Vrishni Kula Josha Dain, one who gives pleasure to the Yadu, to the all of the Yadu dynasty. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that this verse actually refers to Krishna's right eye. As the sun, you make the lotus flower of the Vishnu dynasty bloom and fill them with joy. And then the next name is Shma Nirjara Dvija Pashudadi Vriddhi Karin. O moon, who expands the ocean to nourish all the inhabitants of earth, the demigods in Swargaloka, and the birds and cows in Vrindavan, please expand the good fortune of me, the lowest of the demigods. So he's actually referring to Krishna's names with, like, it's they are the eyes, the left eye and the right eye. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur further reveals that as we see in these 40 verses, he's been speaking for so long, and the Lord has not said even one word to him. So it's pointed out here that Brahma is saying, actually, O Lord, if you do not want to speak to me because I'm an offender, then at least show me some mercy by giving the nectar of your glands. And that's why he's referring to these two verses in which the sun and the moon are Krishna's eyes. And with those eyes, which are so beautiful, please give me the nectar of your glands. By drinking this nectar, I'll be able to maintain my life for the rest of the kalpa. So it seems that Krishna is not even looking at him. So he's praying, just please look at me. So when we do something really bad, like we see our children, they do something really bad, and they're just looking down. They're looking down. And in this case, Brahma is trying to get Krishna to look at him so he can feel that, okay, at least my offense is somehow being mitigated. So, the next point. Lord Brahma is addressing Krishna as Shit Rakshasa Drug. He says, you've killed so many demons on this earth, such as Agarsura. Nevertheless, you gave them residence in your own spiritual abode. I am also a demon like them. And as it was pointed out in the purport, that Brahma is calling himself a Brahma Rakshasa from Satyalok. So one who has come to disturb your pastimes with the cowherd boys and the calves. And therefore, as you punish the other demons, you should also purify me with punishment. If he sees that his master is either merciful or cruel, the servant is encouraged to continue living. But if he sees that his master is indifferent and does not care at all, then his servant no longer desires to maintain his life. This is what Brahma is saying, that please give me some mercy, look at me, so at least I can continue to live. And that's why he says, like in the end of this verse, he says, as long as this universe exists, I will offer my obeisances unto you. So we know that Brahma, when the annihilation happens and the universe is finished, then there'll be another Brahma. But he's saying, as long as the sun shines, so he's saying, eternally I'll serve you, I'll offer my obeisances unto you. And of course, we know in the previous verse, he said, I offer this universe to you as an offering. And I was just talking about it to my children yesterday, and we're saying, how is he saying that I'll offer it? It doesn't even belong to him. But then on the same instance, we have all these trees and flowers and fruits which are there, and they belong to Krishna, but we cook, we prepare an offering, we cut up the fruits, and we offer them to the Lord. So in that way, Lord Brahma is saying, this is something which has been given to me, or I have had the opportunity to create this universe, and I actually offer it as an offering to you. So in that way, we can see how Lord Brahma is offering everything to Sri Krishna. Because and at this point, he's feeling so despondent. However, he has made so many nice prayers, and at the end of this verse, at the end of this purport, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying this prayer, which was pointed out in the purport today as well. Sarva samasya hit sarva bhakti siddhanta shantai astu brahma stutis chitta bhitao me charu chitrita. I'm sorry, I didn't say it in the right meter. But he says, may these prayers of Lord Brahma, which remove all doubts and teach all the definitive conclusions of devotion, remain forever impressed upon my heart. So these verses are so full of devotion to Sri Krishna, and the conclusions are so definitive that we can actually use them as, like, you know, these 40 prayers, they can actually be, I was thinking maybe I can share them with my sister and see how the Lord has been addressed in such a personal way. And actually I was looking at, out of the 40 verses, in 20 of them, Lord Brahma is referring to Krishna, like, my dear Lord, my dear Sri Krishna, my dear Master, O Almighty Lord, my Lord, O Unlimited Lord, O Supreme Great One, O Lord, O Supreme Creator, O Lord Adhokshaja, O Infallible Lord, O Super Soul, Master of all mystic power. So again and again, he's referring to, if you say to somebody, oh my dear Lord, he said like 9 times, my dear Lord. So this is actually very personal. You will talk to, when you're talking to someone, you're actually addressing them. So Krishna is actually a person. So this can be a very powerful preaching tool. And as we know, Brahma Samhita is such a, the prayers of Lord Brahma, which we only have chapter 5 of it, that Lord Brahma has really expressed and established that Krishna is a person, and we are doing the devotional service is the most highly elevated form of yoga which one can practice. And by studying these prayers very carefully, it'll take away the doubt of a person, any doubt one may have whether Krishna is a person, whether devotional service is actually something which we should engage in, and whether it, what is the position of devotional service. So someone who has got a little bit of faith can actually benefit a lot from just, you know, studying these prayers. And so there was one more thing which I wanted to point out. Oh, Brahma Rakshasa. I was wondering, what's a Brahma Rakshasa? Does somebody know what a Brahma Rakshasa is?
Yes.
Yes, Prabhu.
Jagadgurudeva Maharaj, when he gave class here 4 years back, we discussed about, or maybe 5 years back, when the devotee who knows the value of the body, that he's not the body, and the body should be used for the purpose of liberation, and instead, he commits suicide, he becomes Brahma Rakshasa. No Brahma Rakshasa comes from ordinary living being. It is those Brahmanas and the devotees. Even in Mayapur, there was a 2 devotees who hanged. So they do sometime, and they has to be more punished than ordinary living being. Because knowing they are acting against it, they must be. So they become Brahma Rakshasa and control the ghost planet.
Hmm. Okay, thank
There's
you.
There's a whole elaboration stories about it.
I just looked in the Veda base, and yes, if you commit suicide, then we understand that one becomes a ghost, and a Brahmana, if he becomes a ghost, he becomes a Brahma Daitya. This is from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Khand, 1486. And actually, Pundarik, that's what it shows, Pundarik Vidya Nidhi Prabhu's 2003 publication. So it says that the Brahmanas who are envious blasphemers of Vaishnavas, who although breathing are lifeless and who are situated in sinful life, are known as Brahma Daityas. So if one is offending Vaishnavas, they actually, even in this life, they are considered a Brahma Rakshasa. And that's what Brahma is calling himself. I am also like a demon, like them, and I am a Brahma Rakshasa who's come to disturb your pastimes. And further it says in this purport that since so-called Brahmanas who are envious of Vaishnavas become ghosts in this very life, they're being addressed as Brahma Daityas or Brahma Rakshasas. And the performance of Brahmanical activities and acceptance of external Brahmanical dress by persons who internally maintain demoniac propensities in this way is simply artificial duplicity that ruins people. So we can see that actually for ourselves, we can also see when we get into this mode of offending or having this critical, very, very critical attitude towards the Vaishnavas, we're actually maintaining our demoniac tendencies. So that Brahma Rakshasa is actually existing within us as well, because if we meditate on it, we find we are thinking about this devotee or that devotee, or even the great devotees, the acharyas of the past. If we think something, even we think anything critical about them, we need to understand that this is actually a demoniac tendency. And Lord Brahma is showing by his example that he only had one moment of inattention when he thought Krishna, whether he's actually the Supreme. Who is this Krishna? In just that one moment, he's lamenting so much that I am actually like a Brahma Rakshasa. And to think of Brahma, who is so elevated, that he's coming, he has so much humility that he's thinking himself to be a Rakshasa. So for myself, I see that I really need to avoid this tendency of being critical, of being offensive towards the devotees. And sometimes even small things we see, we notice somebody doing something or somebody dressed in a particular way and our mind immediately becomes critical. So this is actually which will be very harmful. This is something very harmful to our devotional creeper. So we really need to avoid that as much as possible and then pray to the Lord that all of those, that anartha of being an offender to the devotees, to the Vaishnavas, will... That mentality of ours is taken away. And pray to Lord Narsingadev that with his nails with which he can take away that anartha from our heart. And that's the only way that we can actually please the Lord, and then we can please our spiritual master. And we know in this age, Lord Chaitanya has advented to remove this atheistic tendency or this demonic tendency that we have in our heart. And of course, he's not killing the demons as we see in this purport, like Krishna killed so many of the demons, Kamsa, Jarasandha, Shishupal, but Sri Krishna Chaitanya removes the demonic tendency. So yes, we have to, here in our little oasis, Alachua, we can engage in, you know, distributing this mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Keshava Prabhu was saying, we are going to this Gasparilla, Harinam, thousands, like 50,000 people come there. And even if 1/10 of them hear the holy name, there will be so many thousands of people. Thousands, yes, few thousands. So we can actually, or the Festival of Colors, which is coming up in April, which for the first time we'll have it in Alachua, and if we advertise it well, we know how in Spanish folk, so many people are coming for this festival and they hear the holy name. So we all can engage in these Harinams, in propagating the, in spreading the, in the spreading the holy names, and that so many people can get the opportunity to get purified and at least get that mercy, and then, you know, they can take it from there. So thank you very much. I'll say the verse again, read the verse again. My dear Shri Krishna, you bestow happiness upon the lotus-like Vrishni dynasty and expand the great oceans consisting of the earth, the demigods, the brahmanas, and the cows. You dispel the dense darkness of irreligion and oppose the demons who have appeared on this earth. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, as long as this universe exists and as long as the sun shines, I'll offer my obeisances unto you. If there's any questions or comments, please. Yes, Prabhu.
Oh, yeah. This, thank you for nice class. Thank you for bringing your sister reference. But this is not your sister alone. Actually, in Gainesville, probably, because that's what I experienced with the, talking to different professors and others, they're more Shakta, this energy believer, than anywhere else, I find. But that's probably everywhere is the same way. But Srila Prabhupada, in Third Canto, Kapil Dev's discussion with Mother Devahuti, very elaborately explained, we must understand this. This is also within. It's not just Brahma is praying. It is also within each of us. We must understand, according to Srila Prabhupada writes, this the power that people think, oh, now in the Yoga Society, they use the word, oh, we feel divine love. So this is the devotee who wrote it. And I asked the devotee in the shop, he came and said, what do you think about this article? I said, the divine love you are addressing, is that love supposed to be tenderness towards some absolute truth or there is no personality? He said, what do you mean? I said, then why are you bringing such thing? This is the same as the atheistic philosophy of that there is an intelligence. But Srila Prabhupada gives in Third Canto, 19th chapter, that power or shakti is an inherent quality emanating from the person, from a substance. You cannot say power exists by its own right. When you say power is moving everything, where is the power originating? Power is the inheritance quality of a conscious being. So if everything is moving by the power, there has to be a desire or consciousness behind to move. I want to move, but I desire that, then my hand is moving or leg is moving. So this way, unless we address, because the activity shows the presence of power or shakti, potency. But the desire to act is the evidence of the shaktiman or energetic. This is our philosophy. Brahmaji is 100% right in his prayers that this is actually every soul, conditioned soul right now has this, that they cannot see the Supreme Lord behind, but they see the action, tornado, mm-hmm. hurricane, mm-hmm. poor, rich, I cannot. So these are the allure activities of Maya Devi. But who is the behind this power who desire to, potency to act? If they don't trace this way, they will not come to Krishna conclusion. Because that's mm-hmm. that's the bewildering energy, always. Mm-hmm. So that's why the question coming back, the power or potency, or whatever they call some divine word they use, can that potency exist by its own right? That's the first question Prabhupada asked. Then he answered in the purport that inheritance quality called power or shakti has to be traced, has to be searched out. Then they will find the energetic, where the energy is emanating from.
They also keep on saying, have you seen Krishna? Who has seen Krishna? And they become, and that's the thing, if they don't, they seem they have, they want to pretend or they want to assume that they have faith, but then when they even question that, then you know that it is waste of time to talk to them continuously. And just by continuously going to the different temples, one day they might get some mercy. And I did see in the case of my sister, after we went to the Jagannath temple, we got this book, we went to Gambhira and got a book on Gambhira Leela. And it was written in English, so she just took it and on the train ride back, she was just reading and reading. And then she's telling me the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya the following morning. She's like sharing and actually now on the phone she just says, Jai Jagannath. So it's like, you know, there is some hope, because when they they say, I've done all the dhams. You know, they, like my mother had this festival because she did all the four dhams. But that a realization can only come by the mercy of a pure devotee. So as they can read something, maybe some little line they'll read one day and something will come to them. And that's why we have to keep on trying to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books as much as possible.
That's good. But also Srila Prabhupada, like you said, how many knows Krishna's different name? But Prabhupada also said, twice in one lecture I heard, he said, actually God doesn't have any name. That should be focused. But he chooses to take the name due to the loving service of a devotee. Right. When you say Yashoda Nandan, there has to be traced out how this absolute truth, who is no completely satisfied, is willing to suck the breast milk. It has to be searched out. Then they will get it. Actual Prabhupada, and then he repeated again in the same lecture, God does not have any name, that is true. But God takes the name due to the loving sentiment of the each devotee. All the Krishna's name has a traced out is the because of the devotee. So there has to be searched out instead of just chanting. That's why he says when someone chants the name of the Lord, the inner self-realization, particularly on that name, will carry the weight of the name. Mm. Otherwise, name will have no substance with it.
Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, Yamaraj Prabhu.
Yes, thank you very much, Mother, for such a nice class. I like the last part of your class when you were speaking about the Harinam, and I was thinking about something I read in Bhakti Tirtha Swami's book, Spiritual Warrior 4, and he was speaking about a lot of times we have a tendency to think about ourselves so much. We're always thinking about ourselves. And he was saying that the key to love and connection with Krishna is service. Serving devotees, serving the populace, Harinam. And it takes the mind off of me, I.
Good point. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Kanta Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.